This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. We're going to talk. Yes, I'm going to get to Joe Kent and what he said today in the Senate about the FBI and January 6th. In fact, our topic right now, talking about Florida's AG being stonewalled by Biden, is going to lead us into that. We'll do some emails, talk about why Democrats really don't like voter ID. It's not racism. All that and so much more. Oh, plus a huge invention that I'm going to discuss 10 minutes from now. It might change your life. Chris, remind me, about 10 minutes from now, I've got an invention for everybody. It's going to be amazing. Trust me, it's going to be amazing. Now, back to what we were discussing. Ryan Routh, the Trump assassin from Florida. We were told repeatedly that this was a crazy guy, a lone gunman, crazy guy. Odd how often they describe him as that, but a lone gunman, crazy guy. Definitely not working with anybody. And he wasn't even successful, by the grace of God. Didn't even see Trump, from what we know. Secret Service discovered him a hole or two before Donald Trump even got there. So, obviously, this is a pretty open and shut case. Pretty cut and dry, isn't it? The guy's there. He wrote down his intentions. He had the weapon. He had everything to do. Yet, the Biden administration did what now?
After 206 days of stonewalling by the federal government that stemmed from days of the Biden administration, I'm able to now announce that my office is charging Mr. Routh.
Why would Joe Biden's government try to stop or slow down the prosecution of a man who was trying to assassinate Donald Trump? Allow me to offer a potential explanation, if you will. You know what happens during trials? It's I'm not a legal expert, but I've seen enough of it. Sat on a jury before. What happens is they open the books, if you will. What books? Your books. Meaning if I decide to murder my wife, and I did an internet search last week from my home of how to put arsenic in my wife's weird health food, they're going to find out my internet search history at the trial. It's going to come out. I don't think Democrats want all the information on Ryan Routh to come out. You can argue that I'm wrong about that, but if you argue I'm wrong about that, then can you give me an honest, decent explanation why you would stonewall Florida's attorney general when he's trying to prosecute him? Chris, Corey, I'm really asking, is there something I'm missing? What? Chris said, not one that sounds good. Yeah? There are no explanations for why Joe Biden's Justice Department stonewalled Florida's AG. There are no explanations that sound even halfway good. None. None that I've figured out. Now, if you want to go the other way, because that was us trying to do the best we can to put the shiniest face on it, maybe we're going to discover some things during the trial. The Biden administration, people inside the government, maybe we're going to find out some things that they'd prefer we didn't know. Things like, well, I mean, we know Ryan Routh was in Ukraine. We know Ryan Routh was recruiting foreign mercenaries to come fight in the Ukrainian army. We know that Ryan Routh, this lifelong dirtball, supposedly couldn't even pay his bills. You've seen pictures of him. Just kind of a disheveled mess. But apparently he knows somebody, because it's not just that he was trying to recruit foreign fighters. He was successful. They got foreign fighters there. Even got them papers and things. Huh. I wonder what kind of connections you would need in order to get papers for foreign fighters to come fight in a war. Something to think about. Anyway, Senator Mark Kelly, piece of crap from Arizona, he tried the best he could to make Joe Kent look bad today in a hearing. Joe Kent came out looking fine. The government, not so much.
We also had intelligence leading up to January 6th that there was going to be violence that day. So that speaks to some degree of intelligence infiltration into some of these groups.
Who within the FBI?
We're looking into that right now.
Which departments of the FBI?
Probably the Washington field office.
So you believe the Washington field office was involved in the planning of the violence in the building next door on January 6th?
It's being looked into. I mean, look, we had...
And who is looking into it?
We are in the intelligence community. Yeah, we're looking into it right now.
And do you believe that the IC conducts actions of this nature against Americans?
Does the IC, well, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies entrapping individuals? If you look at who was running the Washington field office during January 6th, it was Stephen D'Antuono. He was also running the field office in Michigan, where many of the defendants were let go after they were accused of attempting to kidnap the governor, because the vast majority of them were undercover FBI confidential informants. So unfortunately, this behavior does happen by members of law enforcement and the intelligence community, and it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we are transparent with the American people.
Mr. Kent, would you be willing to share this evidence of this investigation with this committee?
I look forward to it, Senator.
All right.
Just a little reminder, you already know this if you've been listening to the show for a while, that the head of the field office in Michigan, Steve D'Antuono is his name, he was the head of the field office in Michigan when, well, we woke up one day right before the election of 2020, the one that had Joe Biden winning, and we woke up and saw that there was a plot, ooh, by some right-wingers. And these right-wingers, they were going to kidnap and assassinate Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Wow. And that bust, that announcement, miraculously coincided with the National Democrat talking points that the right were dangerous, violent, domestic terrorists. So it was day after day after day of calling us violent domestic terrorists, and then voila, almost like a miracle from God, right before the election, I believe it was October, if memory serves me, and it usually does, October, they announced that they just busted some of these violent right-wingers. These guys were going to kill the governor. But not all those guys ended up in prison, you see. Some of them did, and they're still there, by the way. Pray for those guys. But not all of them ended up in prison. In fact, some got let out scot-free. Because remember that trial process we were just talking about, the whole discovery thing? What was discovered during the process, during the trial, was that the Federal Bureau of Investigation planned, coordinated, and funded the entire thing. And the guy who was in charge of planning, coordinating, and funding the entire thing then was transferred to head up the Washington, D.C. field office where January 6th happened. Huh. And remember, we don't have to bank on rumors now. We don't have to bank on this internet sleuth or that internet sleuth. It's been publicly acknowledged that there were feds in the crowd. We know that. We know that a bus full of them showed up before the crowd even showed up. We know that. We know that instigators who were in that crowd were let off with a slap on the wrist. People we've watched with our own eyes, heard with our own ears, encouraging people to break the law. They were let off with nothing, whereas people who barely did anything took a step inside of the Capitol. They lost it all. And the guy who happened to head up the FBI field office at the time, wow, would you look at that? He's the same guy who presided over the entrapment case in Michigan. And all of this by a miracle. What? The Lord works in mysterious ways. By a miracle, all of this stuff lined up perfectly with the narratives the Democrats were pushing nationwide. Huh. What a coincidence. Life's funny that way, wouldn't you say? Anyway, have you signed up for Hillsdale's free courses yet? It's time. I'm about to give you, in a moment, an incredible invention. And in return for what I'm about to give you, I'm asking that you go take a free course from Hillsdale this weekend. Just one class. I'm not even asking. Don't have to take the whole course. Constitution 101 is a good place to start. Or, to be honest, I didn't start there. I started with the rise and fall of the Roman Republic because I'm a huge nerd. Wherever you want to go, Hillsdale's offering more than 40 online courses at no cost. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, and that's where you enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse, the greatest university in the country. It's offering free courses. Do it with your family. Do it by yourself. Get off social media for an hour and have some fun and learn something. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I have something pretty incredible for you right now. It's not my invention, so I want to give credit where credit is due. It was an article that you probably missed out of the New York Post, and it might change your life. You ready for this? Here it is, all right? The headline is, Gen Z, that's younger people, Gen Z coffee lovers discover a new way to combat insane Java prices with a new home cafe trend. No, listen, Chris, you're not understanding it, I don't think. Listen, this is what they've discovered. Instead of going to a coffee shop like Starbucks and spending $15 or whatever it is, no, listen, this is a new invention. They're making coffee at home. I'm not even kidding. If only someone had thought of this sooner, I'm blown away. Oh, but wait, there's more. They're actually including things like pastries and stuff. So it's not just coffee that they're making inside of their homes. They're also making some sort of breakfast food inside the house. I know. I'm floored. Absolutely floored. I had no idea. I've actually been looking into it. You know, you can just buy these coffee machines? And no, seriously. They sell them. Apparently, they're available everywhere. And I stopped by the grocery store on the way here. You can buy a coffee machine. It'll make coffee inside of your house. You can get the beans, just like Starbucks has. You can get the beans in the grocery store. And cross my heart and hope to die, you can get the breakfast food, too. And do all this in the house. So, look. Gen Z may get a lot of guff about not coming up with new stuff. This is groundbreaking. And I'm telling you, tomorrow morning, I'm going to try it. I can't say how it's going to work out. I'm going to make my own coffee. I swear. Yeah. And breakfast too. Look, we'll see how it works, but pretty cool. Pretty cool. So I hope that helped everybody. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, how do you prepare for your show? How long before going on air do you decide what you're going to open with? How do you decide which emails to read? Okay. Show, for one, I was about to say I don't really show prep, but I'll be honest with you, that's not necessarily true. Michael Berry, my mentor, the reason I'm doing this, he used to tell me all the time that you show prep all day, every day. And I said, I don't understand what that means. We would talk about it. He said, everything you do is an opportunity for something fun or interesting to talk about on the radio. You're always show prepping. Always. Now, as far as official show prep goes, we don't do really any of that at all. Unless I'm doing a history show, we don't do any of that at all. Chris, okay, I don't, Chris. I didn't say everyone else. I realize other people show prep. Well, you guys have to do some work. Chris and Corey print out a bunch of articles with the news of the day, and they'll come up with some sound bites, and they'll give me a list of the sound bites right before the show, like 5 minutes before the show, and they'll lay out the articles in front of me. And about 5 minutes before the show starts, I come, look, I would say there are 20 in general. There are 20 articles laid out here. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe it's 15. And I grab five that I'm interested in some way, and I lay them out, and I do the show. And that's that. As far as the emails go, remember, I used to tell you that I read them all, and I did. I was honest about that. I read whatever you send in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It doesn't come to me. It goes to Jewish producer Chris. He then prints them off for me, and every day before the show, he gives me a fat stack of them. We used to read them all. Chris does still read them all. If you send it, Chris reads it, okay? I do not. Chris now filters it out, and let me tell you what gets filtered out. I'm just telling you right now, if you write this, I'm not telling you not to write it. Chris will read it. If you write one of these things, I will never see it in a million years. You're allowed to send hate mail and stuff like that. You're allowed to send love. That's fine. Not if it's too long. If Chris looks at it and it's a bunch of paragraphs, gone. I'll never see it. I'll never see it at all. Brevity is key. Complaints about advertisers. I don't like it that you do an ad. I will never see it. You can email me 1,000 times. I'll never see it. Told him I'm not interested in it at all. If you can't figure out why radio shows get to stay on the air, you're too stupid for me to read your email. So I'm never going to see that at all. Beyond that, is there anything else you censor, Chris? Advertiser complaints and lengths of it? Seriously. See, I don't like that. I want to see those. Chris said he also censors the really crazy ones that make no sense. You wouldn't think it, and I wouldn't think it, but there are some really crazy people out there, and it's awesome. What, Chris? Can you please send me those? Those are my favorite ones. The ones that just everything's a big run-on sentence. Remember the guy when we used to take voicemails, but that just turned out to be too ugly. Remember the guy who was yelling and screaming all the time, and then he kept leaving? We need those, man. Those were the best part. People would get hammered, and they'd call in. It's just wild. It's a wild west out there. Other than that, I read all the emails. What ones do I decide to read on the air? Well, I mean, smart ones, funny ones, sad ones, something. Something that's good for the show. If yours doesn't fall in one of those categories that I won't see, I read them all too. Chris hands me a stack. I read them for the show. Set some to the side to read. But even those, like if you're watching on the simulcast, there's a big fat stack of emails. Even those I don't get to. Have you switched to Pure Talk? You know Mother's Day is coming up. I know that because I asked Chris right before the segment if he could find out when Mother's Day was so I didn't forget to buy my wife something. Mother's Day is coming up May 11th. You know what your mom really wants? She doesn't want you to find a better job. She wants a better phone for herself. That's what she wants. She wants you and her to stop funding communism. She doesn't want to pay these Verizon prices. She doesn't want to pay AT&T prices. She wants you to switch to Pure Talk. That's the gift your mother wants. And she wants you to switch her to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company, the one whose CEO is a veteran, the one that hires Americans. Don't you think mom would want you to hire Americans? She would. That's what your mother, don't disappoint your mother. Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. Okay, so I have a couple things I want to get to that make me smile before we get to why Democrats actually don't want voter ID. First thing is this. This was a Tesla owner. It was a video he put out online. I think it was on TikTok or something. He's taking this video in front of his Tesla. His Tesla that has very clearly been keyed many, many times. There were scratches and gouges all down the side of it. Either that or he let his wife drive. Anyway, this is what he had to say.
Check it out, guys. Somebody keyed the crap out of my Tesla, a car I bought 6 years ago in the state of California, because I'm concerned about climate change. Oh, but some amazing resistance fighter keyed the crap out of it, and that's going to do it. Voting didn't work, but you know, this defiling the car of a fellow liberal, that's we did it, guys. We got him. Today's our liberation day. Go celebrate. Just go celebrate. Woo!
I do feel some sympathy for the gentleman who's now going to have to sink thousands of dollars into his car to fix it. At the same time, I do think it is beneficial for people that may convert one day. I think it's beneficial for them to be introduced to their fellow travelers, if you will. Buddy, that's your side. You can wash your hands of that all you want, but that's who they are. That's what they are. You vote for communists, the street animals out there keying Teslas and lighting them on fire. They are the foot soldiers of the communists you vote for. They're all on the same team. And guess whose team that is? Your team. Now, one more thing. This is a local story, and it's not important, but I like to, whenever humanly possible, try to help people out. Certainly help people be successful, if at all possible. Help in any way I possibly can. We don't have to yell and scream and be depressed all day long. This headline, a woman called AAA during a standoff to fix a tire the police had just spiked. This took place in Utah, you see. 45-year-old woman led police on a high-speed chase. Eventually, the cops spiked her tire. Cops will do that to obviously disable your vehicle so you can't hurt anybody. The cops spiked her tire. She called AAA. All right. Now, all this is bad. Don't get in confrontations with police. You definitely don't want to get in a high-speed chase. All that's bad. My message isn't to her or the cops. My message is to AAA. Why not show up and change the tire? Hear me out. Could you tell me a better marketing opportunity than showing up to the felon who's in a standoff with police and say, no. She called. We're AAA. We want to fulfill our obligations. So we are going to change her tire no matter what. Now, tell me that wouldn't inspire you to sign up for AAA. We are AAA. We are so loyal to our paying customers that even if you find yourself in a standoff with police, we will be there for you in that time. Tell me that's not an opportunity. But none of these corporate types have any sense of humor at all, and they're not light enough on their feet at all. I would be rolling up with AAA plastered all over my vehicle. I've got a job to do, and my customers come first. I think they should have showed up to change the tire. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? I would think you'd appreciate this. It's about making money. Anyway, Sonny Hostin and Democrats don't want you to show ID. They talk about it a lot. Here's Senator Alex Padilla.
What Republicans are doing is once again demonizing immigrants for the sake of making it harder for eligible citizens to register to vote and to cast their ballots in elections. It's voter suppression in disguise, not so much of a disguise.
He's talking about the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act just got passed through the House of Representatives, and all it says is show ID to vote. That's it. So why do they roll out these bizarre talking points about demonizing immigrants?
What Republicans are doing is, once again, demonizing immigrants.
Why are they lying about that? Oh, that guy chose to use the immigrants. This one, Representative Nakima Williams out of Georgia, of course, she had to go with the black thing.
In Georgia, over half of the population doesn't have a passport. And our driver's licenses, even the real ID, doesn't prove citizenship. This bill could force Georgians to pay more than $700 million just to register to vote. Y'all, that's a poll tax, plain and simple. And it's blatant voter suppression.
So I thought it would be beneficial to bring this up just for to make a couple very simple points. First, remember, there's only one reason you wouldn't want people to show ID to vote. It's because you intend to cheat. There's not a second reason. Obviously, all these reasons they just listed are completely ridiculous. They're ridiculous because they're lies. The truth is Democrats don't want people to have to show ID to vote because Democrats intend to cheat in elections. That's the bottom line. But I thought it would be beneficial to play these two sound bites because it shows you how communists will marry the communist revolution with the different grievances of the different grievance groups. Remember, communism is simple. It's the religion of the malcontent. If you're an evil communist and you want to burn everything down and gain power for yourself, what you do is you recruit the different malcontented groups and you promise each and every group that you will punish their enemies if they give you power. Different groups, but all one cause. For Senator Padilla, if you're trying to explain why you shouldn't have to show ID to vote, well, of course, it's about the saintly immigrants. America's a melting pot, after all.
What Republicans are doing is, once again, demonizing immigrants for the sake of making it harder for eligible citizens to register to vote and to cast their ballots in elections. It's voter suppression in disguise, not so much of a disguise.
But if you're Nakima Williams, that doesn't work for you. You have a different group of malcontents who vote for you. You have the black malcontents that are angry about whatever, and you have to appeal to them.
In Georgia, over half of the population doesn't have a passport. And our driver's licenses, even the real ID, doesn't prove citizenship. This bill could force Georgians to pay more than $700 million just to register to vote. Y'all, that's a poll tax, plain and simple. And it's blatant voter suppression.
And before you roll your eyes at that last bit, I'm going to tell you something. I know it'll offend everybody. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot even imagine, and maybe you don't want to, how ingrained that way of thinking is in certain parts of the black community in the United States of America. Not all of it, of course. That's ridiculous. But in certain parts of it, especially the ones that have those evil satanic black churches, the ones that talk about US of KKA, those are the ones I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The black liberation theology, those communities where everybody goes to those churches and they have the same community leaders who speak like that all the time. There are Americans, as we speak, who believe these insane, ridiculous things and these dirty race communists. appeal to that and stoke those flames all the time. When you hear people like Jasmine Crockett spout out her ridiculous filth and you roll your eyes and I roll my eyes, you should know there are chunks of her constituency, in fact, large chunks of it, they believe it. Isn't that nuts? Friggin' nuts. Almost as nuts as you just leaving your home movies sitting around without digitizing it. How many of your home videos have you digitized? How many of your pictures, your hard pictures, how many have you digitized? None. That's how many. So how many will you lose if there's a fire in your house tonight? All of them. All those memories gone. You're not going to get them back. Can't remake that tape, that baby album. You can't do it. Legacy Box is here to make your life easier. They digitize your memories. Your great, great, great grandchildren want to see pictures of you. What would you give? I'll tell you what, I would give anything to hear my grandpa Jack talk. You know, I never got to, I mean, I heard his voice, but I was so small when he died, I don't remember it. I would love to know what he was like, what his parents were like. You can give that to your great grandkids. You can give that to generations. You can give that to yourself, to your children. Let Legacy Box do that for you. They're running a big special right now. Digitizing home movies is 65% off. $9 a tape. That's it. LegacyBox.com/Jesse is how you get that deal. Keep your memories forever. It's not about you. It's about those who come after you. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Be back tomorrow to wrap up the week with an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you missed any part of the show this week, including Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, our history thing we did again, download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Jesse. I heard screaming children at the grocery store, and I saw a 7-foot praying mantis clutching a Velveeta brick with both tiny claws. I would start singing Frito Bandito. That's not very nice. Do you have any funny stories about super fans approaching you in public? You know, outside of the book tour, everybody's always majorly cool with me. I tell people, and I'll tell you again right now, I am not some celebrity or something like that. If you see me, you can come say hi. I promise I'm not going to be bothered. I'm just, look, you know exactly who I am. We talk for 3 hours a day. I am exactly what you would expect I am outside of this. If you see me, I'll probably be eating, or I'll be with my kiddos or with Ob or something like that. And you're welcome to come up and say hi. You're not going to bother me at all. And that's really how everyone is. What happens mostly is people are so cool because I'm usually out with the fam. They'll not say anything and they'll send an email. Hey, Chris, tell Jesse I saw him at Red Lobster. Dude, you can come say hello. It's not a big deal. Nobody's really ever gotten weird or anything like that. Normally people want to take a picture. Hey, can I take a picture and send it to my buddy? Can I take a picture and send it to my wife? But that's fine too, whatever. With the book tour, that was a little different. And again, 99% of the people were majorly cool. But whenever you do any kind of an event where you open it up to everybody, whenever anything is open to everybody and you tell them, hey, I'm going to be here at this time, and if you show up, we can talk. You're always going to have some. Now, I'm still fairly new to this whole life, so I made a couple mistakes after the first book tour stop. We made our first book tour stop, and what do you think everybody brings me? I got a ton of history stuff, which was really cool, by the way. I got a ton of war memorabilia and stuff like that. Also, majorly cool, by the way. But I also got tons of food. People would bring me food. The women, I swear half the women brought me food. And someone brought me Cheddar Bay biscuits. They would bring me baked goods. Everybody knows how much I love to eat. Well, we finished the first book tour stop. And I was hungry. So I started eating it all. And the book people and everyone else freaked out. Jesse, you can't do that. They might have poisoned something like that. And so I pushed back. From that point forward, they confiscated all of the food people brought me. And I'm still sad about it. Yes, Chris, I remember the pie. One lady, God bless her, I don't know her name. Was her name Rachel? Okay, one lady, Rachel, a long time ago, somehow got the address to the studio. It was an old studio. It's all secret now. She got the address to the old studio, and she sent us a pie. Wasn't it blueberry or something, Chris? It was amazing. And again, I made the mistake of telling Michael Berry that I ate the pie, and I thought he was going to murder me right then and there. It's like, you have no idea who sent that to you. It just didn't occur to me at all. What, Chris? Exactly. There's good medical care everywhere. It's like it's not going to be a big deal, right? I grew up eating my mom's cooking. My stomach can handle anything at this point in time. My grandma, Helen, God rest her soul, she was such a bad cook. Infamous. She was infamous for this. She made the world's best bread. Of course, it was homemade. And she made the world's best applesauce. Beyond that, it was unedibly bad. All of it. All of it. Grandma was such a bad cook that the entire family, whenever we were going to grandma's house, we would stop at, usually it was a McDonald's or a Wendy's because they lived way out in rural America and there wasn't anything else. Not that I have any problem with McDonald's or Wendy's, but those were the only options. You would stop every time. It was a rule in the Kelly house. You stopped and you gorged yourself on food before you got to grandma's. That way, as soon as you showed up, because she's a grandma, it's going to be, oh, I've been roasting pot roast for 4 days. I'm sure it's delicious. You can, every single time. She had to have caught on at some point, but she never let it on. Every single time it was, oh, dang, grandma, I would love to. I'm sorry I missed out on that. We just ate. Oh, if I had only known you had dinner, we just ate. And this was back before cell phones were a thing, so you didn't have to risk. You didn't have to risk being in constant contact. You know, you weren't going to get a text message from grandma saying, hey, don't eat. I have my pot roast. Nope. We just showed up. Oh, did you make your pot roast again? And your world famous green beans. Wow. That is a shame. I was in the mood for lima beans tonight, too. But I guess I'll pass. Anyway, the Baconator did me well.
And now...
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Chuck Todd admits media hid Biden's cognitive decline, quote, out of fear of helping Trump. Remember how many times we've talked about how effective the communist is at holding up people and turning them into Satan, and then you'll get your followers to do anything because you have to oppose Satan at all times. Works on the media. The Chinese spy balloon? Team Biden held secret talks with Beijing about the fear of notifying the public. Here's your reminder that the last president we had for 4 years was not only dementia-addled, he was almost undoubtedly controlled by the Communist Chinese Party. Wow. USF... that's University of Southern Florida, official, resigns after leaked recording reveals how much he undermined Florida anti-DEI laws. These laws are good. These laws can be effective. But the communist revolutionary is not dissuaded by your laws or your rules. This is why, as I've always said, you have to deal with them in what they understand. Fear and pain. Tomorrow, we will be back to do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.